Yeah, you know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm in the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel. Hello.
Hello.
And investigator Shelly Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. And the seance candle is still burning. I mean, it's barely, it's like just the half of the upper edge of the candle is just starting to melt. This wax goes a long way.
This does.
Is quality. It really does make a difference. I don't know how many candle enthusiasts we have out there. Hopefully a lot. But the candles that Nevermore carries, this seance candle in particular, I think this one's from Coventry Candles, right?
Yes.
This thing's been burning since we fired it up, hour and a half ago or something, and you can barely tell. It's just really getting turned loose. I think we may have summoned Donna Reed, among others.
This is what you're hoping.
Yeah, hopefully Donna Reed and not Heinrich Himmler or something.
Right.
How is biz, Shelley, over at Nevermore and Wright's Coin Shop?
Business is good. The coin shop, it is hopping. Every day there are new things in the cases, and it's crazy. And still people will say, oh, I like this. I'll have to come back. Don't do that, because if you wait, it's not going to be there in an hour. Don't go get lunch and then come back. And at Nevermore, things are wonderful. I got a bunch of new stuff this week, and I have cloaks. I wore one for the tour. There was a picture of it. Purple one. And I have some enchanted cloaks coming in too, which have had some charms put in them and on them.
Do tell. Fascinating.
Yeah. So everybody needs to come see me, because it's the season.
Whether you need a seance candle or an enchanted cloak or a spirit board or Four Thieves vinegar.
Exactly.
Nevermore Mystical Arts, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. What's your number, Shelley?
It is 828-505-3182.
I saw that. You're starting to have it memorized.
Yeah.
You only had to think just briefly
just
there.
Briefly.
There's muffins over there. What are those muffins about?
It blueberry. They were here when we got here. They
might not be here. They might not be here when we leave.
Why, no.
We don't need to leave blueberry muffins laying around the studio overnight.
No, that would be rude.
No. We'll clean up after whoever left those blueberry muffins here. I think they'll never miss them. Yeah. I'm tempted by the blueberry muffins. Yeah.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
All right. Sam, there's a lot of weird stuff in the news this week. The world is becoming more and more insane every day. Do you buy that?
Oh, I do, Vance. I do buy that. this is pretty wild. At the Cindaver factory in Tampa, Florida.
Oh!
We're very familiar with that neck of the woods. They're a little late. Better late than never. Scientists are bringing bodies to life, not necessarily Frankensteining the dead, so to speak, but they're using a bunch of polymers to craft synthetic cadavers that twitch and bleed like real suffering humans.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, these are not your Halloween props. This is a $95,000 cadaver. But if you think about it, like go back to H.H. Holmes. Remember, he was stealing cadavers and selling them to medical schools. There's always been a market for a need for bodies for scientists, medical students to examine and whatnot to learn on. Well, if you factor in the costs over time, $95,000 probably seems pretty good, because these things are, you can use them over and over. You just have to keep buying more viscera.
Right, like sanitary CPR mannequins.
Yes, except, wait, I mean, have you ever seen the bodies exhibit?
No, I know of it. I've never seen it.
I saw it in New York one time, and it was really cool because you saw, like, you know, these, you were talking about the anthills earlier. These corpses were, like, you know, sliced into little pieces, and you could see how the body operated in the, and that's what this thing is, this cadaver doll, and it's pretty wild. But here's the thing. It doesn't decay, but it's made up of 85% water, so every night you can't just leave him out, like, chilling in a chair. You have to submerge him in a watery grave. Yeah.
Ooh.
So it would be pretty cool to have at home, but you know that, like, you know, after your first week playing with your $95,000 corpse, you'd get lazy and you'd forget to submerge him.
And find the cat trying to
paw it. And check this out. The eyes have tiny screens so that they dilate in response to light or trauma. Like, it's a very realistic. The heart, you know, it's like it pumps and everything. It's got, like, heaters in it, so the blood is actually, you know, body temperature. It's a far cry from when we used to play with cadavers down in Florida.
Yeah, when you have to go dig them up yourself. Yeah, I would like to see one of those. That would be a pretty cool thing. Imagine the kid whose dad works at the university, who brings one home for his Halloween party. That's the coolest kid in the class right there.
I don't know if
that's happening or not.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm kind of projecting the idea that they're in some of the biology classes. They had this skeleton, or, you know, in some doctor's office, they had this skeleton, and they would end up at someone's house or at somebody's party, you know, on loan, unofficial loan. I don't know if the an unofficial loan of a $95,000 synthetic cadaver, though, that could go bad, especially if there's drinking going on.
Yeah. Here you go. Here's one, Vance. How do you know? I was wondering this the other day. I saw a movie, and it was like, how do you know that you're actually alive? How can you prove that you're alive right now, this very second? You know you think you are, but how can you prove it to somebody else that you're actually here, that I'm here, that Shelley's here?
Yeah, you can't really communicate the chronic back pain that reminds you that you are still in life.
But even that back pain, how do you know that that's real? How would you prove that to somebody? Well, how do you prove that you're dead either? Apparently, like, when you die, you know that you're dead. Scientists have discovered that the mind still works after the body shows no sign of life, and reveal that people have heard their own death announced by medics. A person's consciousness apparently continues to work after the body has died, a study has found. And researchers say that people's recollections have been verified by medical staff. And it's a crazy question if you start thinking about, like, because how do you talk about death?
Yeah, it's a bizarre sort of query there. It's a mind bender.
Because, like, your heart could stop, your pulse could stop. They could pronounce you dead. You could still be, like, you know, Johnny Got His Gun, Metallica 1 video, like, screaming from the inside, like, no, I'm still here.
Right. Well, you hear these cases of people in NDEs, near-death experience. I think Raymond Moody, a friend of the program, actually coined the term near-death experience, where people find themselves hovering above their bodies, watching themselves on the operating table, and the surgeon shaking their heads, giving up. We've lost them.
Well, apparently this comes about due as Hollywood is remaking Flatliners. Remember the Kiefer Sutherland movie?
Right.
It doesn't need to be remade.
It shouldn't be remade, but it is. And so that it goes on, you know, to say that a lot of people have even heard themselves being pronounced dead. And this has been verified by hospital staff, as luckily they weren't wheeled totally out of the facility or tossed away.
Right. They weren't shoved into the crematorium. Ooh, prematurely. We got time for another bell ringer before the break.
Sure. Yeah.
Woman attacks 7-Eleven clerk with hot nacho cheese because the customer is always right. This is in Melbourne, Florida. That's right. She was arrested last week for assaulting a 7-Eleven employee with hot nacho cheese. According to the report, she entered the 7-Eleven around 1:50 a.m. That's pretty much last call for alcohol on Thursday morning, looking to buy a sandwich and a cup of the aforementioned liquid cheese. Yeah. The clerk, however, had reportedly asked her to refrain from opening the hot cheese dispenser, a request she didn't appreciate. As she later told cops, she wasn't a fan of the clerk's attitude. She then tried to pay for her food, but the clerk refused to ring her up. In retaliation, Hicks threw both the sandwich and the hot cheese across the counter, covering the clerk's hands and feet in the gooey orange condiment. The 31-year-old woman then waited outside the front door of the 7-Eleven for police to arrive, but not before angrily reminding the clerk that the customer's always right. Here's what you're going to do. Pizza parallel. Things
are
that you really don't.
Are you an angry customer or are you doing a George W. Bush impression there?
Both. An angry George W. Bush. Pizza parallel, Sam. Things that you really didn't like people telling you. The customer is always right was one of them. And here's what you're going to do. I did not respond well to being told, here's what you're going to do.
Don't do donuts in my front lawn.
Yeah. You didn't like being told that?
No, it just made me want to do it more.
Oh, the pizza parallels. Anyway, she was arrested for assault and battery.
That's probably why we don't have 7-Elevens here anymore. We can't have nice things because people want to throw cheese in Florida.
Now, why are you getting into like the cheese vat? Maybe the thing is, I'm thinking maybe the clerk didn't want to refill the nacho cheese dispenser that late at night and was just trying to...
I'm surprised they had cheese at that hour. Usually they've shut down the cheese station.
I think she was trying to dissuade the woman. Or, you know, it's like when people call for pizza at 5 minutes till and you're like, we turned the oven off. All the drivers are gone or stoned already.
Sorry.
Can't do it. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back. I've been remiss. I haven't played enough Glenn Danzig for you. Actually, that's the Misfits, featuring the voice of the man, Glenn Danzig. Shelley is a fan. She's smiling. You and Rebel Sinclair, you two are quite a pair. You're like the biggest Danzig groupies. And you're both speaking of strange gals, so that's pretty cool. What does it take to be a lady of speaking of strange first? A fanatical devotion to Glenn Danzig. If you worship Glenn Danzig, you may have what it takes. Did I just summon Glenn? No, he's not dead.
Well, if you worship Glenn Danzig, maybe this is for you as a pair of his hand-painted gloves from 1984 when he was in the Misfits.
Right.
Are up for auction right now. $10,000 is the opening bid.
Yeah.
On that. But they're hand-painted, marking the end of the Misfits era and the beginning of the Sam Hain pre-Danzig era. So it's definitely important in that musical history there, and it's got full authentication provenance.
Right, probably photographs of Glenn wearing those said gloves. Yes, I know those gloves from some early Glenn photos when he was with the Misfits.
$10,000 opening bid, though. I mean,
you know, if I was just filthy rich, $10,000, I would drop that in a heartbeat. If I had millions. What's $10,000? Money is no object. I would own Glenn Danzig's 1984 hand-painted skeleton gloves. I would be having Glenn come over and play, you know, backyard parties and stuff at my
house. If I had a lot of money, I would be dangerous because the things that I buy and I have no money are ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I had a lot of money, it would just be like, I can't imagine. Like, my house would be a crazy. Remember that show Silver Spoons?
Right.
Remember, like, they would ride the train through the house? I'd probably have a train in the house.
Yeah, like Steve Martin talking about he had a fur sink. And, of course, he bought a lot of dumb stuff, too. Miami politician says aliens took her on a spaceship. Now she's running for Congress. Shelley, you ready?
I'm ready.
A Florida senator who once flew aboard the space shuttle got nothing on this Miami candidate who can go one better. Bettina Rodriguez Aguilera says she's been aboard a spaceship, too, but this one was crewed by aliens, as in extraterrestrials, three blonde, big-bodied beings, two female, one male, visited her when she was 7 years old and have communicated telepathically. I started to say telepathetically with her several times in her life, she says. good Lord. Rodriguez Aguilera is a Republican running to replace retiring Miami Republican Representative Ileana Ross Lehtinen, recounted her experience with ETs during a 2009 television interview. She described going up inside the spaceship, though whether it went into space or just hovered around town was left unclear. I went in. There were some round seats that were there and some quartz rocks that controlled the ship, not like airplanes, she said. Well, yeah, as far as I know, airplanes aren't controlled by quartz rocks, but what do I know? Among the things she said she found out from the aliens, there are 30,000 skulls different from humans in a cave in the Mediterranean island of Malta. On another Misfits note, Glenn Danzig wants your skulls, 30,000 of them in a cave on Malta, according to the aliens' message. And the World's Energy Center is in Africa, okay? The Coral Castle, a limestone tourist attraction south at Miami-Dade, is actually an ancient Egyptian pyramid. Quote, God is a universal energy, unquote. She also said that the aliens had mentioned ISIS, though she didn't clarify if they mentioned the terrorist organization or the ancient Egyptian goddess. Interesting character. I would vote for just based on that alien contact. Why not? There are crazier Republicans out there.
You know, Shelley, do you think that the mood in the country right now, it seems like on one hand, It's you know, in your day-to-day life, it's probably much the same. But on a bigger picture, it seems like things are getting, like, dark or, maybe we just don't experience enough joy at stupid things like other countries do. You know, they have some weird festivals, some weird, their lineage of their history goes back a lot further than ours. And it seems like in other countries like Japan, for instance, they still have fun with some of their festivals. Like here, you'd do something and half the people would be against it. There'd be protests and picketing if you tried to have, say, like a penis festival.
Right. Joy killers.
You know, just... I was trying to think. You said joy killers, and I immediately thought of a great old term, and it just left my mind. Well, in Japan, in April, I think we've talked about this before, but it's worth bringing up again, if not for what it translates to. I really like what this festival translates to. The spring marks the celebration of the Shinto Kanemura Matsuri, which is otherwise translated as the Festival of the Steel Phallus.
The Festival of the Steel Phallus.
Yes.
Is that steel with an E at the end?
No, it's steel as in, you know, S-T-E-E-L. But that should be like the name of, like, my biography or something. Or, like,
the Festival or, like, of Sam's, the Steel Phallus.
Or, like, speaking of strange, and the Festival of the Steel Phallus. The day-long festival takes place on the first Sunday of April at the Kanemura Shrine in Kawasaki, a city north of Tokyo. And it's deluged by tens of thousands of locals and tourists who flock from around the world to pay homage to the male appendage. Why not? You know, it's there. Why not? And so there are just penises everywhere at this festival. I'm talking like people are wearing penis T-shirts, necklaces, you know, funny novelty penis glasses. I know you like to rock yours. There are candles, like a candle that's burning still. Ceramics, key rings, all... penises. And peckish revelers can choose from a host of phallic food, from chocolate-covered bananas to chicken skewers. Now, what's interesting is that there's three, basically, the parade is the high point of this festival, and it kicks off around noon, goes through town, and the whole town is, like, lined up. They're excited about these phallic representations, and people are lining the streets trying to get a glimpse of the three giant penises that are transported high above the crowds on mikoshi, or portable shrines. And there's three of them. Your first one is made from metal in a gleaming black finish. The second one is a more traditional penis carved out of wood. And the third is pink plastic and shouldered with a plum by cross-dressing Japanese men in glamorous wings and wigs and colorful makeup. Now, that to me sounds like a pretty fun time.
I'm kind of with the wood.
You're a wood penis kind of guy?
Yeah, I'm kind of a good old-fashioned hardwood.
A steel penis or a plastic penis?
Oh, which one?
Steel or plastic?
Steel, well, ugh.
You don't like the steel penis?
I don't think so.
It's not what I heard.
So Vance likes wood, Shelly likes plastic. I'm going to vote for the steel.
You got to go
I got to go steel.
I want to get back to your original point about Americans kind of taking the joy out of things. Even when they do something like the topless or whatever, they have to do it for a cause other than just having fun. They have to try to make a political statement, and that's just a total buzzkill,
right,
in my
that
opinion.
Is everything like-
just do it because penises are good or titties are good.
Or fun. They're just,
yeah.
It's funny to laugh at, you know, at penises. They're there. I mean, I think we can all take a lesson from the Japanese. Maybe not so much in those, like, carting around big wooden phalluses, but just from, like you said, you know, having fun and not politicizing everything and just having a good time and enjoying things for what they are.
Josh suggested that we should do a Duke festival, not in as in feces, but the Duke. The infamous mummy that was wheeled around Asheville.
I remember.
In the back in the old days, he thought we should have like a Duke boxcar derby where people build their little Surreys and roll them down Market Street or whatever.
Dressed as mummies.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Let's have more fun, people. Zombie fests and the like.
Post some ideas of fun stuff that you think we should do on our Facebook page.
Absolutely. Speaking of strange on Facebook... Or email me, speakingofstrange.com. We'll be right back with more of the Dark 30. If you hadn't noticed, tune out if it's getting to be a bit much. I apologize. We'll be right back.
Thank you. toothpaste out!
Ah, yes. The Japanese have an appreciation for more than just phalluses. It's the Dark 30. That was a Japanese sort of surf, rock, punk.
Guitar Wolf.
Everything. Guitar Wolf. I like it, Sam, and I will be listening to more from Guitar Wolf. I would like to take this opportunity to recommend Takeshi Taruchi and the Bunnies. As a really cool Japanese surf band. The Bunnies, if you just remember to spell Bunnies, B-U-N-N-Y-S. Yeah, if you look for the Bunnies on Facebook. It's pretty straight ahead surf rock, but Japanese. So it's just a little bit off. It's kind of like spaghetti western surf. I don't know. Great band that I just ran across recently. So yeah, we've been listening to some Japanese rock and roll. They really know how to do it. Sometimes they have a way of taking American things and making them even more special. And say, rock and roll is special to me. If you hadn't guessed it, I'm Vance Pollock. It's Speaking of Strange. It's a Dark 30. So, yeah, we're dealing with some content this hour, yeah, that could offend the easily offended, or even the moderately offendable, I guess is one way to put it. Shelley, you ready to ring-a-ding over there?
I'm ready.
This is from Pasco County, Florida. A man who was offended when someone made fun or questioned, I guess, his imaginary girlfriend killed the offending party. Before the killing, he yells, "You're messing with my girlfriend." Pasco County Sheriff said the suspect barricaded himself inside his home. He believed that his mother's friend was trying to hit on his imaginary girlfriend. Okay, you follow? This is from Port Richey. The man who was shot and killed was as mentioned, the friend of the mother of the mental patient who did the shooting. The incident started about 3:30 p.m. Deputies closed part of State Road 52 near Meadow Drive in Port Richey due to reports of an active shooter. The shooter had been in the garage of his home with his mother and her boyfriend, and this is kind of hard to parse here. I should have
read it before,
shouldn't I? Please note, the killer does not have a girlfriend. In his mind, he did, but in reality, he didn't. This is the deputy.
Are you
trying
getting
to explain
into some like deep Kaiser metaphysical Soze stuff? I say abort mission.
Yeah. Anyway, a dude thought that someone The headline was better. Yeah, dude thought somebody offended his imaginary girlfriend in Pasco County, Florida.
Check.
Boom. Dead.
I'll continue on with the Japanese trend here.
Sure.
A corpse likely belonging to an elderly woman that was found inside a residence was probably concealed by mounds of garbage for how long? Nearly a decade.
Wow.
Yes, this was in Tokyo. Police were tipped off by a work crew about the discovery of human bones inside the residence after 10 years. Officers on the scene found the body lying face up in the floor of a second floor room. That brings to mind Douglas Copeland's Girlfriend in a Coma novel, where in a post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear future, there'd be leakers. And that was when people, like the elderly, would expire in the apartment above you and then leak through the ceiling. Leakers. Police subsequently searched the residence but had to halt the operation due to the large amounts of garbage with the woman in the middle of all of it. They're now working to confirm the identity of the body.
That's disgusting. Yeah. When you were talking about leakers, I thought that maybe you were talking about Stuart Copeland.
No, not the police.
You don't know that he has any connection to corpses being kept around for a long time.
Not that I know of.
Okay. And, well, here's a related note, hopefully not related to long-expired corpses, but a Texas County employee arrested for a $1.2 million fajita theft. Arrested for allegedly stealing fajitas, but it goes way beyond stealing food from the office refrigerator. Authorities say the man had been stealing fajitas for 9 years and had stolen more than $1.2 million worth of fajita meat. According to Brownsville Herald, Gilberto Escamarilla worked for the Juvenile Justice Department in Cameron County. Over the past 9 years, he's been allegedly using county funds to purchase fajitas, then intercepting the deliveries and reselling the fajitas to his own customers. The scam went on for years. He was eventually caught in August. He'd reportedly taken a sick day when a driver from the Juvenile Justice Department's meat vendor called to say he was there with 800 pounds of fajitas for the kitchen. The woman who answered the phone told the driver he had to be mistaken because the Juvenile Justice Department never served fajitas. Uh-oh. It's all falling. It starts to unravel. He was fired.
The burrito starts to become unwrapped.
He was fired the next day, arrested him the next day, finding him at home eating a fajita with a refrigerator full of fajitas, actually. Yeah, when it started out, I was trying to do the math and think if he had been slipping down to the local restaurant a couple times a day, how long would it take to eat that many fajitas? But no, he was doing it on a much grander scale.
It's sort of like working at the pizza place. You get really sick of pizza. Like, you don't ever want to eat pizza again,
right?
At least from the place that you're working.
True.
But have you ever done this, like cafeteria? You know, like school cafeteria pizza.
Right?
The rectangular school.
Yeah, octagonal or whatever.
I used to deliver to the schools, and I would take them pizzas and trade them store pizza for cafeteria pizza. How messed up is that? I mean, it's not fajita messed up, but I would trade Pizza Hut pizza for school lunch
our pizza.
Pizza
for, just to mix it, yeah,
just
mix
because
it up
it
a little
was
bit.
Nostalgic.
And I had a buddy at the shop that would go to the grocery store and get different toppings, and you know, working with our crust, it still was a little bit store-bought, but he would go down there and he would get like some barbecue or steak and different things like that, some fresh vegetables to cut up, and yeah, change it up a little bit. You're right, working in a restaurant eating the same food day after day.
Here's one for you. How about this before the break here? A man alleges that gay porn companies forced him to inject models' penises with an enhancement drug even after he poked his thumb with a syringe during a shoot. Yes, this guy who has no training, no medical background, he's never injected anybody before, especially in that region, He's suing after it was brought that he had been required to give these injections of a drug called Trimix, which I'm already writing down to look up when I get home, which was obtained through the mail without prescriptions. Apparently, he would give these injections to were used for erectile dysfunction using a hypodermic syringe. They could then maintain an erection for multiple hours in duration because you know how it is, man. When you're shooting a movie like that and they yell cut, you have to go back. You can't have, for continuity's sake, you know. It's like, you can't be wearing a different shirt or different sneakers. You have to maintain. So that's what that drug would be used for. And this guy, Ronald or whatever, would just be like, okay, guys, well, come on. Whoops. And he poked his finger. They didn't do any testing for diseases or whatever. Luckily, he did not have any disease. But now he says that his checks stopped coming.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that his finger was stiff for about 4 hours.
That would have been good. Yes, he had a
no serious side effects, but yeah.
Trimix. Writing that down. Note to self.
Oh my goodness! It is the Dark 30. If you hadn't guessed yet, struggling through and bringing you some strange stuff. We got a few more to go. Before bedtime, folks, midnight approaches. Stick with us. Speaking of strange. Yeah, the Dark 30. Speaking of strange, just a few more minutes. I want to leave you with a story that I kind of like. It sounds rather incredible, but how many of you have ever felt like this? A man in England, fed up with his nagging wife, hides in the woods for 10 years. She must have thought I was dead. He says, a gardener, so fed up with his wife's nagging, ran away from home and lived in the woods for 10 years. A 62-year-old man, Malcolm Applegate, married to his wife for 3 years before upping sticks. I suppose that's an English expression. I like it, though. Before upping sticks, after the relationship had soured, he began to make his way from Birmingham, where they lived, to London, made it halfway before his bike was stolen, and then he just started camping out in the woods. For 3 years, it was all right. We got on with one another, and the gardening got too much for her, he said. She said, why don't we have more time together? And I said, how can I? I've been recommended to people for gardening. I just upped and left, got fed up, walked out on her. We had so many arguments, it took me 3 weeks to get back to London. I didn't lock my bike up in Oxford, and someone helped themselves to it, so I had to walk back from Oxford. He secretly left his family home, and when increased working hours angered the wife, he just upped sticks. I'm going to have to remember that expression, upping sticks, just packing it in. It's like taking out the trash and never coming back. He met up with some hippie types that were just camping in the woods and fell in with them and started doing volunteer gardening in the community. Lived out there in the woods off the grid for 10 years before just strolling back into town.
That's a little excessive.
Yeah, his wife fainted at the news.
Was she still his wife?
She...
After 10 years?
She had not had him declared dead, but just assumed he was dead, but hadn't legally declared him dead.
Didn't care enough.
Apparently, he didn't leave enough behind. If he had left anything valuable, I dare say that she probably would have had him declared dead.
Well, check this.
Anyway...
This is not from Florida, actually. Stupidity from the other side of the country. In Bismarck, North Dakota, police have arrested a man for possession of drugs after first spotting him attempting to light a cigarette with the nozzle of a gas pump. Now, I was driving down the road the other day, and I was like, "Oh crap, I left my lighter at home." So I'm like driving, I'm trying to like find another lighting apparatus. Never once did it occur to me to like pull over and use like the gas pump.
No.
Apparently, they were spotted by Bismarck police officers driving by the gas station. He refused to put the nozzle back and took a fighting stance. When an officer tried to stop him, the officer then forced him to the ground, and he allegedly continued to resist and flailed his legs. Flailed about. and he was charged with misdemeanor meth possession, preventing arrest. Not resisting, but preventing. Only you can prevent arrest. Only you. Skyler White Bull. Only you, Skyler White Bull, can prevent arrest. Only you.
My thoughts are he's holding the gas pump nozzle as if he's going to be able to
question
light.
Though, if he didn't have a lighter, how is he going to use the gas pump to light the cigarette? It would just get it wet.
My thoughts were lucky he didn't try to light the gas pump, as if he were out of cigarettes and tried to somehow smoke the gas pump. Would it have made any less
sense? I don't think you
can
smoke a gas pump, Vance.
I think it probably would have caught fire, is my point.
I think you're showing a little bit of your squareness here. You're like, hey, kids, you want to go smoke some gas pumps?
You can huff the gas, but don't smoke it.
Trust, you can huff some gas. I can tell you that with authority right now.
Don't try this at home.
Not
recommended.
It is not.
Yeah, and don't light your...
When I huff that gas, I feel like I can stop a train, Vance.
Oh, and by the way, Jesco White is not dead.
Jesco White's still alive.
I'm sorry, Sam. I've been really off my game, man. Last week, I was trying to convince you that Jesco White was dead. Not true. I think we could probably ask Jesco a little bit about huffing gas.
Let's try to get an interview with him.
You want to get Jesco White on Speaking of Strange?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. A new era begins. This has been Joshua P. Warren Speaking of Strange on behalf of Shelley, Vance, and Sam. That's Shell, Vance, and Sam.
Thank you, lay people.
Thank you to Brian Hall, Aaron Lovin, Mobius, other Brians, all people named Brian, the life of Brian,
Monty Python,
Monty Python, and of course,
you, the listener,
you, dear listener, Stu Phillips.
Stu.
Thanks, buddy. Great interview tonight. Let's do it again soon. Stay strange.